Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great for you to be here. This is our joint service once a year. There is a Tiger Club as well going on as well. That's great. And I'd like to introduce the Reverend Canon Chris Bull, Archdeacon of Buckingham.
Associate Archdeacon.
Associate Archdeacon of Buckingham. Thank you very much. You all know him very well. He's a great friend of this church. And most of the people here will have met him before, I'm sure. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, Associate Archdeacon, I don't want to get ideas above my station. And besides, the Archdeacon would get very offended. It's lovely to be with you this morning, especially on this, I didn't know it was just once a year, my goodness. And this annual occasion where your two churches come together for this service. And it's brilliant, so lovely to be with you. And also, it's of course the patronal festival of St Margaret's Church here, and we'll say a little bit about that in a moment. But thank you for your invitation. We're also online this morning. I think there are one or two who might be watching online, so welcome to those who join us live from wherever you are. So let's take our order of service. And we're just going to begin with our opening responses. We meet in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and was raised to the glory of God the Father. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we're going to sing our opening hymn in just a moment. But before we do that, and before we get to the confession, I have a confession for you. I did not know who St. Margaret was. You probably all know, so I'm talking pretty much to myself perhaps. But Google comes to everybody's help nowadays, doesn't it? So I Googled who was St. Margaret, and I have two offerings for you. Is it St. Margaret of Scotland, an English princess and Scottish queen, born in 1046 AD, and wait for it, patron saint of expectant mothers? Or is it St. Margaret of Antioch, martyred for her faith around 303 AD? Well, the answer is all to do with Sir Philip Rose. As you know, five times mayor of High Wycombe, apparently the first man to own a car in Wycombe in 1896. He was a man of great passion and vision. He built a London hospital, Tyler's Green School and church, and other things locally here too. And he named St. Margaret's after his wife. What a romantic, eh? So, St. Margaret's is linked to Sir Philip Rose. The consecration of this building took place on Friday, the 20th of October, 1854. Sir Philip died in 1883 and is buried in a family vault under the church. Today is the Sunday closest to that consecration date, some 165 years ago. And so today is a celebration of the life and story of St. Margaret's, its Christian witness and its ministry to this community. And so we're going to pray our opening prayer, and then we're going to sing our worship. And so we join together in praying. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to sing our opening hymn, a great hymn of praise, 520, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'"
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. And so we acknowledge our human frailty as we call to mind our sins of word, deed, and omission. And I invite you now to sit or kneel as we confess them before God our Father. The gospel good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect set for a patronal festival on this patronal festivals for St. Margaret's, we pray for this church. Almighty God, to whose glory this church of St. Margaret was dedicated, we praise you for the many blessings you have given to those who worship you here. And we pray that all who seek you in this place may find you, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, may become a living temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the collect set for Bible Sunday. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have the first of our readings. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, Amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, starting to read at verse 1. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to stand to sing our second hymn, the hymn, God, Thou Whose Almighty Word, 557. Standing to hear the gospel reading. The gospel is from Luke chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 16. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this prophet to me, proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your own town what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please be seated. Can we take a moment now in prayer? Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. We bow in your presence. May the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. And may each of us live to your praise and glory. Amen. It often surprises people that vicars had a life before they were vicars. People of ordinary people and had all sorts of jobs and interesting things. Before I entered church ministry full-time, I was a machine tool design engineer and I worked at Vauxhall Motors, which is my second confession, because if you have one, it wasn't my fault, okay? Just so you know. At the end of my second year of my apprenticeship, I was the recipient of a small award, which was a bit of a surprise, but nevertheless, I was given a book token, which I rather diligently spent on a rather fine King James Bible, which is this one here. And sure enough, in the inside there is a rather ancient plaque now there from 1979. This is my King James Bible from that moment. And the thing is, I had recently come to faith, and the King James Version was the preferred version of the church that I was attending. I think if you were to examine this book a little more closely, you will see it's not as well worn as it ought to be. Truly, I did make a valiant attempt. I was a teenager, I was 17. I did make a valiant attempt to read it when I was 17, but quite honestly, the King James Version for a 17-year-old was a bit obscure, and there was something about the tissue-thin paper that was a bit, it gave me some difficulties. But the thing was, I wanted to engage with it. As a new Christian, I felt that the Bible had something to say to me, something profoundly important. If only I could understand what was there. And I also remember from those young days being part of the youth group, where we were encouraged to memorize scripture verses using little cards provided by the navigators. And each little card had a Bible verse printed on it to learn. And they were useful, and quite remarkably, I do remember quite a number from those days. But that also gave me another problem. It was the sort of being, the problem about being a biblical magpie, engaging in a sort of random pick and mix from all across the Bible without any of the context of what these verses sort of meant. Well, the good news is I did eventually read right through the New Testament, and I read through it also in a modern version. And I have to say, I didn't get much understanding. I was still on my journey. As for the Old Testament, well, I struggled to pronounce the difficult names and places, and well done to the person who I gave the reading to this morning for the Nehemiah reading. You need the right set of teeth to read that, that's for sure. Though all these people who stood alongside Ezra, the elders and the Levites, and there are all these place names and so on. And there's something about the whole story of Scripture and trying to get your head around that. Well, it's all part of a journey. You start somewhere and you gradually learn through. I did find the Psalms really, really important for me. And it was all, as though all of life was contained in there. And whatever was going on for me, there was something that fed into my story at that moment. So I do commend the Psalms to you, even if the rest of it is words that and places that, you can't quite pick and where they are. I'm sure my story is fairly typical of those who are trying to be serious about their faith, find sometimes scripture is not quite so easy to get into. At least I had the advantage, and I'm sure many of you did too, that some of the stories were familiar because of Sunday school and because of some of the things that I heard in school. Nowadays, not all youngsters have that same exposure to the Bible or the Christian story. The reading from Nehemiah gave us, I think, a quite different perspective on reading the Bible. I'm not proposing we build a big stand, wooden stand this morning, and I stand, and because I think the book of the law that was read was the first five books of Moses, that which means we'd probably finish about 9 o'clock tonight. I know you really enjoy your coming together once a year, but that might be a bit overdoing it. But this story from Nehemiah is a turning moment in the life of this emerging community, this nation. And you sort of have to get into the scene to understand it. They had been in exile for 70 years. They had been in Babylon, away from their homeland. And now they had come back, and under Nehemiah's leadership, they had rebuilt the ruined city, the city walls of Jerusalem. And they had restored the gates, and they were again a people. And having achieved so much, they could just say, well, thank goodness for that. We're in. You know, the doors are there. We can close them. We'll be safe. But they had unearthed the book of the laws of Moses that had been hidden away safely. They had been lost, but now they were found. And they knew that any outward building that they did needed an inward building also of their hearts and their lives. And there's a word here for all would-be reformers. You can change so much outside, but actually it's the inward change that is going to make the lasting difference. There's a Matt Redman song, a modern song, and it starts with, can a nation be changed? Can a nation be saved? Can a nation be turned back to you? And the answer is yes. Yes, it can. He says, we're on our knees. We're on our knees again. And the thing is that nations can be changed when we take seriously God's call to an inner spiritual reform and renewal. And therefore, the word of God is key. And Nehemiah encapsulates, our story from Nehemiah encapsulates that moment. Nehemiah allowed God to bring change in him. He moved from being a personal attendant of the king in Babylon to becoming a governor, an engineer, a reformer of the returning Israelites from exile. I don't think any of those things were in his job description when he started, but God enabled him. And that personal transformation led to the transformation of the whole nation. And it's always been the case that nations change when people change, when we change. There aren't many public readings of scripture in the Bible. This is one of those rare occasions. And something amazing is about to happen. This deep transformation in the lives of those who hear. The people gathered in their rebuilt city. You know, that we're told specifically that the crowd consists of men and women and children, the whole community, all who could understand, hear with understanding. Any child old enough to pay attention was there also. The reading tells us that the book was open and all the people stood up to listen. So, you know, this is a long occasion and you're standing for the duration. Perhaps a little like we stand to honour the reading of the gospel today. And they interacted with the reader and learnt together. Ezra blessed the Lord and they said, Amen, Amen. They lifted up their hands. They bowed down to the ground. They listened attentively to the word of the law being read. And then instruction was given so they could all understand what was being read, from the oldest to the youngest. And as they understood, they began to weep because they could see that they were not living in a way that honoured the Lord their God. But this was not to be a day of mourning. The lead teachers of the law said, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't weep or mourn. go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks. Send some gifts to those who have nothing. This day is holy to our Lord. Don't grieve. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the response of the people had several important elements. It was a communal event. They came together. It was not something they did by themselves. Though it was also an intelligent response because they were able to learn together, to have an explanation of what they heard. And it was heartfelt. They opened themselves up to God's word, not just to their ears, but their lives. And the result was celebration rather than mourning. They were to feast and to celebrate with the poor. And they were reminded that the joy of the Lord was their strength. So let's translate a little bit of that into what we do on a Sunday. Because we too gather together, men, women and children. We also hear the scriptures being read and explained. And we respond from our hearts in the declaring of our faith, in our praying for one another, in including everyone in what we do as worship. We celebrate, we sing, we share the peace, we gather round the Lord's table and remember in bread and wine all that Jesus has done for us. And then we are sent out, strengthened by God's presence here, with his peace and his joy, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God's word, scripture, is central to all of this. It is the foundation of our community worship. It is at the heart of our celebration, and it is our action. Remember Nehemiah's story. Nations change as people change. The Bible, I discovered, is not a book of information. It's not a history book only. It's a book of transformation. Nehemiah allowed God to bring change into his life. And the people of Israel were transformed as Ezra read and the Levites instructed. And from those moments of personal transformation came their community transformation, and it led to the transformation of the whole nation. Nations change when people change. Sir Philip Rose, apparently, was a deeply religious man. He brought tremendous energy and drive to all he did, including the founding of this church and the creating of this parish. And it was to his credit that because of personal transformation, he was one of those prepared to do something and make a difference. You know, reading a little bit of his story, he was prepared to do something for those who were in desperate poverty. He was prepared to do something for those who had a lack of basic schooling, and I think the local schools are part of his passion. And his care for others. No one's a saint in that sense. I'm sure he has a story like we have a story. But his personal transformation led to action and service of others. He believed that the Bible could change lives, starting with his own, and through its knowledge and its application, the lives of others would be changed and communities would be changed. He invested so much in this community in the hope that a nation would be changed. You're not supposed to have favourites, I know, but I really like the book of Nehemiah. I warm to Nehemiah's character. I warm to his integrity. And what I've discovered in my own journey of faith is that I do need to read the Bible for myself. I do need to think it over and chew it over, and I need to understand it because I need personal transformation. It's all in there, but it needs to make its journey in here. But this passage also challenges me to want to not just read scripture alone. I need to hear it in the company of others, in the assembly of worshippers. Together we hear God's word, we read it out loud, we learn together. And I need the community of others with me, listening to me and talking with me. I need intelligent explanation from the pulpit and in my small learning groups. And then what I need is heartfelt passion and openness, because Scripture always demands a response from me and from us. I need to respond to others. It leads me to prayer. It leads me to worship. It leads me to action. And I need to be spurred on by others around me. That's what the important thing of belonging to community is. We together are spurred into action. So my Bible reading can never be just a private thing, and my faith can never be just a private thing, or even just a public thing, and just an academic exercise. It is together we learn and grow. And I need celebration, because the Bible changes me, and I become the person that God always intended me to be, and I like that. I like that my life has been a journey. Thankfully, the 17-year-old version of myself who found this most difficult actually knows a little bit more than I did when I first started. My journey may have had a faltering start, and it might never have continued and become part of my whole Christian life had it not been for the encouragement of others, as together we listened and discussed and we grappled and we prayed and we worshipped. So as I changed, and as the communities that I belong to were also changed, so we were changing the world around us. And as communities change, so a nation can be changed. Matt Redman's song, "Can a Nation Be Changed?" he asks. Well, yes, it can. We're on our knees. We're before God in prayer and with Scripture. Today is the last Sunday after Trinity, called a Bible Sunday because of the collect set for today. It doesn't say that the Bible is the dictated word of God. It doesn't say that it's a book of information, but rather it says that God calls all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Something quite different. It's a book of transformation. And I pray, it's my prayer, that God will help us who gather together as his family here today, personally and corporately, to do as the collect said, to hear God's word, to read, to mark, to learn, to inwardly digest them, so that we might be transformed, so that the world around us might be transformed, our communities might be changed, and that our nation and the nations of the world might honour the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Thank you that through it our lives are transformed and changed. We pray that you would do that work of transformation within us, and that through us you would be pleased to transform the world around us. Later we will pray for our nation and our world in so much turmoil, and yet we know the answer lies in between these covers, words in this book. Transformation. Can a nation be changed? Yes, Lord, we believe. Amen.
Let us pray. As we gather today in our church, in the joining together of our congregations, we offer our prayers, our hopes, and our concerns for those we love, and for those in our communities and our world. As believers in Jesus, we rejoice in the vibrancy of God's word in the Bible. Let us pray that through the scriptures, God's voice will be heard and heeded. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
We pray for the health and safety of the Bible Society teams around the world. We hope and pray that God will give the staff courage and fill them with hope that they will be able to convey a message of hope in Christ through the scriptures. We pray that they are able to continue the work of the Bible mission, especially in difficult circumstances or oppressed lands. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the church, that it may be faithful to the teaching of Jesus and steeped in the knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. We pray for those who study and teach the Bible and for those who preach. We pray that God's word of grace may be heard by all who are new to the Christian faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the world, which is God's and not ours. May we be faithful and bold in our stewardship of it. We pray that world leaders will commit to leading by example on the suggestions of the upcoming COP27, the United Nations Conference on Climate Change. And we pray that even our smallest actions go some way towards saving the environment for our children and our grandchildren's sake. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for all those who've heard the Bible's message of longing for peace in God's world and who are working to fulfill it. We pray for places where there is war and violence. We pray that God's word of freedom may be heard by all who are imprisoned by prejudice and hatred. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for ourselves as hearers of scriptures. May God's honouring spirit give us courage and joy to live by them. We pray for our local communities, that they may be places where all God's children can flourish. We pray that God's words of love may be heard by our families and friends and all who serve our communities. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those who have died in the faith of Christ. We pray that God's words of life may be heard by all who mourn. We pray for the health and peace of those who are lonely, anxious, and sick. And we pray that God's words of hope may be heard by those who are housebound or in hospital. And we pray for all those known to us in our hearts who are currently suffering. And we bring them to you, to God now, for his strength and his courage. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
God, our loving Father, may your words of love bear fruit richly in our lives and in the lives of all for whom we pray. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Can I invite you please to stand and we respond to God now as we declare our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Peace to this house from God, our Heavenly Father. Peace to this house from his Son, who is our peace. Peace to this house from the Holy Spirit, the life giver. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
and also with you.
Would you please offer one another a sign of peace? We're going to sing hymn number 50, Break Thou the Bread of Life. So as Jesus commanded and as Scripture recalls, we gather round the Lord's table to remember in bread and wine all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross and through the resurrection. We're going to use the prayer on page 5, prayer 1. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And turning to page 17, would you please sit or kneel as we pray as we have been taught to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So I invite any who would like to come and receive communion, you can receive bread, and there is the option, if you would like also, to receive wine from the common cup. You are perfectly at liberty just to receive bread only, if that is what you prefer. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. O God, from living stones you prepare an everlasting dwelling, a place for your majesty. Grant that in the power of the Holy Spirit, those who serve you here at St. Margaret's and at Holy Trinity Penn may always be kept within your presence. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And on page 18 we pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to sing our closing hymn. God is working his purpose out. May I please invite you to be seated? As you will know, this benefice is in vacancy at the moment, and there is a crack team, I'm sure, preparing the parish profile, which is your shop window as you look for a new incumbent. And while you're sitting there, I was informed that we need a photograph of happy, smiling faces to go in the parish profile. So we have cameraman. You have to provide the smiling faces, though. So if you would be so kind, that would be lovely.
There.
Okay, excellent. If you would remain standing, that would be lovely. Thank you very much. Your faces will be forever captured in the parish profile now. We conclude our service with our blessing. Christ, whose glory is in the heavens, fill this house and illuminate your hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.